It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. And someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. You guys, you didn't even have to know the verse. That's always the answer. You know that, right? Okay. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. That word foundation came up a lot. How important is a foundation? Harper says it's this important. It's this important. We as elders here at House on the Rock feel it's vitally important that we lay and help you lay a good foundation. Now, a foundation is just that. It's a brick of stone. It's an outline. And everything else that a house is goes on top of that. It's not fancy. It's not glorious. And then truth be told, it's pretty darn simple. It's not complex. But it is very, very important. The things that we talk about, some of you have gone through, all of you have learned about turning to Jesus, right? Some of you who started, you know, in the very first class, you've went on and you've learned the Lord's Prayer and the parts of the Lord's Prayer. You've learned parts of the Apostles' Creed and how to hold on to that. And now we're coming together to learn the way of Jesus, the Ten Commandments. Okay? Again, not complicated, but very, very important. What is an ethic? Have you heard the word ethic before? Lance, what's an ethic? I think you'd raise your hand whether you knew the answer or not. Do you just like to raise your hand? Ethic. What did you think I said? Epic. Oh, yeah, no, ethic. E-T-H-I-C. What is an ethic? Porter? That's okay. Lance, going to try again. Common sense? I wish, but no? Jackson, ethic. Okay, so we're talking about the morality of actions, how we should do something, how we should live. So we've talked about in various parts and various ways. We talk about, you know, what it means to turn to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the truth, I'm the way, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is Jesus Christ. So now we're going to talk about the way of Jesus, that there is an ethic, a way of doing things, a way of building a life. Now, some of you will be pleased to find out that this component is not memorization heavy. Okay, this is the part where everyone goes, woohoo! Yay! Yay! That's awesome! So excited! That's not to say that there isn't memorizing, but it's not as much memorizing. The first 3 weeks, a little bit heavier than what's going to follow. But the priority isn't necessarily the memorization of content. If we're talking about an ethic, we're talking about things that I do. And so we're going to try to work with you to help you develop a habit of review, of awareness. Hey, did I honor my mother and father today? And what does that mean?
Well, my mom and dad have been dead for 50 years.
What does it mean to honor your mother and father? Did you take the Lord's name in vain today? Do you know what it means to take the Lord's name in vain? What's it mean?
Take it out of context.
That's not what it means.
me, that's what it is.
I love you. I love you. I love you. Porter, you can't go to the bathroom. Okay. What you need, buddy? Okay. A lot of people think that. But what we're going to talk about is, can I come to the end of the day and can I assess whether or not did I obey that or did I not? And God, can you help me tomorrow? Did I keep the Sabbath? What does that mean? What does it mean to not lie, to not steal, to not covet? To come to the end of one's day and look back, oh, I walked the way of Jesus. And when I didn't and how I didn't, to then come before the Lord and, most merciful God, I confess, I've sinned against you in thought and word and deed. That's why we pray the way that we pray, right? Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So yes, there is going to be some memorization, but not as much. What we're most concerned about is, are we walking the way of Jesus? You might say, the Ten Commandments? Like, seriously? Like, dude, that's so Old Testament. We're like a New Testament people now. We don't need to do that Old Testament stuff. For 2,000 years, the church has recognized the priority of the Ten Commandments in our way of life. This is what we do. At no point does Jesus take the Ten Commandments and throw them out the window. In fact, on multiple occasions, when he's having engagement with people, he runs them through the Ten Commandments. Because it's an amazing summary of faith. An incredible summary. So what this is going to look like, and this is a longer component than all the other ones, it's actually 17 weeks. This is going to take you up to Easter. For some of you, it's going to take you right up to your baptismal prep. It's going to take you right up to moments of confirmation and moments of committal. I mean, so this is, for some of you, this is the next piece, the last piece, okay? So for this week, next week, and the week after, for 3 weeks, we're going to do a whole introduction. We're going to talk about what is glory, what is law, what is story, okay? And then after that, we're going to do one commandment a week. So how many weeks will that be? Good. I have a lot of hope for this class. This is, we're looking good already. Good. So we're going to do 3 weeks, then we're going to do 10 weeks, then we're going to do 2 weeks in how Jesus fulfills all those commandments, how Jesus embodied those commandments. We're going to do a week on what the greatest commandment is. Anyone want to know what's the greatest? Put your hand down. Yeah. I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much. Okay. Anyone know what the greatest commandment is? Layla, what's the greatest commandment? Aaron, what's the greatest commandment? Way to represent. Game respects game. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. What you'll find is if you take the Ten Commandments and you split them in half, the first five, guess what it has to deal with? How do I love God? The second half, guess what it talks about? How do I love my neighbor? Well, if you love your neighbor, you're not stealing, you're not lying, you're not sleeping with his wife, you're not coveting, you're not doing any of those things. You know, if you love God, you're respecting his name. You don't have other idols that you bow down to. You respect rhythms of Sabbath. Yeah. And so that's going to be the kind of flow. Today, it's all about, hey, an introduction, glory. Okay, so what were you created to be? What were you created to be? Good image bearers of God who know, live, love, glorify God, right? It's okay, chemo brain. I got you, girl. Good image. You were created to be a good image bearer of God. This is your very first week. Very first time in Foundations, very first question, what were you created to be? I was created to be a good image bearer of God. And that means I know him, I live with him, I love him, and I glorify him. Well, so what does that mean? What's it mean to glorify him? Let me just throw that one out there. Porter? Don't take him for granted. I like it. What's it mean to glorify him? Someone hit my mouse. Yeah. Obey. Awesome. Reggie. What's it mean to glorify him? Obey him, yeah, we like that answer. Lance? To praise him? Did I see your hand up? I like that pen. What's it mean to glorify God? To love him? Awesome, awesome. Let me read some passages to you that have to do with glorifying, okay? Let's see what we can find out. This is from Luke chapter 2. Anyone like Christmas? Yeah, this is from the Christmas story. All right, not the Christmas, the movie. This is from the Bible. Okay, ready? Luke chapter 2, 17 through 20. When they, anyone guess who the they was? Shepherds. It was going to be one of the two, right? Good job. Yeah, when the shepherds saw him, they spread word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. All right, what did the shepherds do after they saw Jesus? Okay, they glorified him. What else did they do? What did they do? When they told people, what's that? They spread the word? Yeah. Why did they glorify God? Why did they do it? What did the angels tell them? Remember what the angels told them? What did the angels tell the shepherds? Hey, yeah, there's a baby. It's king. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. So what do? They go off and find the baby, wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. Yeah, this is the deliverer. This is the next king. Yeah, and so they go off and they spread the word, glorifying him. Okay, key phrase. Let me read another passage. I'm not that bad. That's right, he does it all the time. John 21. After Jesus said this to indicate to Peter the kind of death in which Peter would glorify God, he said to him, "Follow me." All right, let me read that again. Jesus said to Peter to indicate the kind of death in which Peter would glorify God, he said to Peter, "Follow me." Okay, so this is after his resurrection. Jesus is talking to Peter. Any of you guys know in this passage, maybe if you're familiar, Jesus told Peter how he was going to die. Any of you guys know what he told Peter? Porter? Well, we're not quite sure from a legend-wise, did he actually get crucified upside down? But he was going to be crucified. Yep, he was going to be martyred. So Peter is told by the Lord, you're going to be martyred for your faith. You're going to be brutally killed for your faith. And in that, he says, you will glorify God in how you die. Anyone real excited about glory right now? Let me read you another one. You ready? This is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they see your good works and glorify God on the day he visits us. Let me read that again. You ready? Live such good lives among pagans, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Among whom, in this passage, does Peter tell people to live good lives? Who are you supposed to live good lives in front of? What's a pagan? A non-Christian person, that's exactly right. You live such good lives. No matter what they might say about you, what are they supposed to see in you? Your good deeds. They see how you live your life. And as a result of how you live, what happens? They glorify God too. Okay? All right. So, guys ready? You guys know how this works, right? You guys remember, if you got your book in front of you, okay? If you got your, you guys put your insert in. Just put your insert in. There you go. Okay? Cover up. Cover up the one side so you just see the question. You got it? You good? Fancy nails. You got a fancy pen too. Got it covered up. Got it. Where'd your book go? Where's your book? All right. Cover it up, cover it up, cover it up. How do I glorify God? Okay? How do I glorify God? Porter? Telling others. You heard that from our story. Good. By praising Him? Can I die in such a way that it glorifies God? Am I to live in such a way that I glorify God? Okay, this is what I want you to read this with me, okay? See if I can get it to come up. We glorify God by enjoying Him, loving Him, and by obeying His will and instructions. Let's read that again. Ready? We glorify God by enjoying Him, loving Him, and by obeying His will and instructions. Write that down in your square. Write that down in your square. Good to see you. Those are cool. What did you do to the cup? Ward, does Mom not feed you? That was fast. Oh, wow. Check these out. That's awesome. I like that. Okay, you're writing that down. Why do we write it down? Help you remember. The more senses you involve in the process of memory, the more it kind of solidifies, like you're putting big old cinder blocks down in the cement, like you're laying a foundation, okay? One block at a time. One block at a time. You can dribble on drool, and you can doodle, and you can sketch, and you can outline it, make it your own. Dancer over there has got multiple colors. Colors is a great thing to do. Jazz has got a fancy colored pen. Allie's got a fancy colored pen. That's awesome. Haley's got little drawings. That's awesome. Well done. Read it with me. We glorify God by enjoying Him, loving Him, and obeying His will and instructions. Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. Let's open this up. To glorify God, first time it's mentioned. Anyone want to take a guess at it? First time you think it's mentioned, the glory of God. Lance. No, but that's a good guess. You got to start somewhere. Page one is a good place to start. No, it's actually, believe it or not, it's not in Genesis. Nope. Did someone say Exodus? Did you say Exodus? Yeah. Well, yeah, it's in Exodus. It's actually when it's talking about the construction of the temple and the building of the tabernacle, when the glory of God comes upon this tabernacle, is the first time the glory of God is mentioned in Scripture. Okay? It's when God appears and He makes Himself visible. Okay? That's really important. When I'm talking about the glory of God, I'm talking about something that is visible. How did they know that God was present in the temple? His glory was there in the tabernacle. His radiance was there. There was a presence that I can see. Okay, when Moses goes up to see God face to face, and Moses comes back down, do you remember what happened to Moses' face? We just talked about this in one of our class. Yeah. What's that? He was radiating the glory of God, which means people could see it. Good. To glorify God refers to the visible impact God has on a person or a group. The visible impact that God has on a person or a group. So, if we go to a good restaurant, okay? What's a good restaurant? Do Good? Okay. I've never been, okay? It's great. It's a great restaurant, which means when I see people coming out of the restaurant, their face should communicate that it's a good restaurant, right? I will see something visible on their face that would tell me, that must be a good restaurant. How do I know it's a good restaurant? I can see it on your face. You go see a good concert. You go see a good show, okay? I will know before you say anything if it's good. How will I know that? Your face. What are you smirking about? You'll see it.
I was thinking Bon Jovi. You said concert, I think Bon Jovi. Sorry.
You're thinking about Bon Jovi's face. Yeah. Yeah, but there's something visual and visible about when we talk about the glory of God. Jackie, y'all good?
Yeah, I'm good.
You need him?
No, I'm going to sit in the bathroom.
Okay, he's eating a cup. Do you not feed him? He's always eating something. Okay, you guys ready? Here's your verse. Some of you might not know it already. Read it with me. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's read that together one more time. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Notice words like light and shine and see, good works, give glory to your Father, okay? Okay, so this idea of light shining in the darkness, okay? How did the shepherds shine a light on God at Jesus' birth? What did the shepherds do? I love you two. You guys used all your credits. Okay, I love you guys. Jasmine, your hand was up. How did the shepherds shine a light upon God? What did they do? Can you think? What did they do? What did the shepherds do after they left baby Jesus? They spread a word. Okay, they're shining a light. They're pointing direction upon and saying, hey, God over here, God did, God showed up, God is. Okay, how would Peter shine a light on God? Remember from the verse I read to you? How is he going to shine a light on God and glorify him? What's that? How is he going to give glory? How he was going to die, right, in his martyrdom. He's going to be martyred for his faith. He's going to be killed for his faith. He's going to shine a light. He's going to make God visible to others in the way that he was going to die. How can we shine a light on God? Let me read this passage again from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they see your good deeds and glorify God. How can we shine a light on God? I want to hear some ideas. How can you shine a light on God? Think about where you work, where you live. Think about the people that you know. How can you shine a light on Him? I love you guys. You used your credits. Okay? Okay, Cadence. Spread the word. Okay, how can you do that in your life, in your circles? Yeah, that's awesome. Well done. Very good. Yeah. You're gonna shine. You're gonna make God's works and actions visible in how you're living your life by sharing a story. Good. What else? You. I want to hear about you. From you. Yes, Tiffany. Your testimony. Okay. What are you gonna do with your testimony? First off, what is your testimony? What is a testimony? Sin and death, right? Yeah, I'm going to give a testimony. I'm going to give witness. It's a judicial term. Awesome. How is something a way that you can do that in your circle, in your life? Yeah, you just did one, right? Down in the Dayton area? Oh, very cool. That's awesome. Good grief. There is such a thing, isn't there? There is such a thing as good grief. That's beautiful. Okay, give me an example. Got to put the bacon on the bottom shelf for me, Linda. Okay, yeah. Glorify, and it's a way that we glorify him, right? If it's enjoying him and loving him and obeying him, yeah, these are the things that get good. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Haley, what's a way that you can glorify God in your life? Something that you can do. Being kind, big fan. Big fan of being kind. 100% yes. I think Jesus was kind, don't you? I think Jesus was kind. Yeah. Putting up with Aiden, right? Yeah, right? Yeah. Everything okay? If that's not Jesus, you hang it up, sweetheart. Is this your sister? Is your sister calling you during class? Well, you need to tell her, sister, I'm in my foundations class. You're going to get me in trouble. That's right. You tell Pam, Pam, I got in trouble with Pastor Paul because you called during class. And then he talked about it for another 5 minutes. Sonia, what's a way you can glorify God? Keeping my phone turned off while Pastor Paul's talking.
When I ride the bus with the kids, I am beyond pleasant.
So a little bit of context. For those who don't know, you ride a bus for some difficult, challenged kids to help them get to where they need to be. And they come from very difficult homes, very difficult maybe health situations. And so they require a lot of attention. And so you have been spit on, punched, kicked, sworn at, and a whole host of other things. Grabbed, you name it. Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. But, and it's definitely a dark night. And so by doing that, you get to shine a light.
I do shine a light. I try very hard every day to make a conscious effort. Whatever situation comes up, I throw something in there.
Yeah. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. I love that. Yeah. Harper, how can you glorify God in your life and what you do? That's okay. That's all right. What about Big Brother? Well, while Sister's thinking about it, what can you do that gives God glory? Help others? Yeah. Let them see your good deeds, good works, serving. Sure, absolutely. So, you know, weather's coming. You know, maybe it's helping someone with the sidewalk, shoveling. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I know Riston loves Jesus, goes to church. Yeah, good. Harper, can you think of anything? Forgiveness. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes. Followers of Jesus forgive others. Why? Because we have been forgiven. Really doesn't make a lot of sense for followers of Jesus to not be forgiving, right? In fact, I think God kind of speaks against that. All right, so let's unpack this. Enjoying him. How might we enjoy him to give him glory? That means we choose him over other things. Porter, you have a question. I don't know. Artists want to express their love and their delight for God. All right, so to enjoy him, I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to choose him over something else, okay? So let's imagine, if you will, I've got two cell phones, okay? I've got two cell phones, okay? Bob McGee calls me. At the exact same time Bob calls me, my wife calls me. Which one do I answer? Yeah. Yeah. Why? It's my wife. Duh. What's that? Oh, I love Bobby McGee. This is Bobby McGee, man. I love him to pieces. But, dude, It's my wife. Okay? I choose her over whatever. Yeah, I choose her. Now, you guys understand, and some of us who are a little bit older get this, that while God is calling us, so many things from the world call us too, doesn't they? So the question is, which phone do you answer? It's learning to enjoy Him. If Reg and I, because we've gone out for lunch before, right? And so we're sitting down and we might say, all right, Reg, where do we want to go for lunch? You want to go to Hotheads or you want to go to Subway? Yeah, talking to you. Hotheads, right? Yeah, absolutely. Why? Because we like Hotheads more than we like Subway. We're going to choose that one over, okay? So enjoying God means I'm going to learn to choose Him over something else. And for many of us, that's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, okay? How we love Him, have no other gods before Him, carry His name a certain way. I don't make idols. I honor Sabbath. I love others the way He has taught me, enjoying Him. How do we love Him? Let me just go back so we can see this. Okay, enjoying Him, loving Him. Devotion is a good way to understand the word love. God says you can't serve two masters. You can't do it. You can't serve two masters. If you're choosing something when you could be choosing God, that means you're not choosing God and you love the something more. Well, that's not true. It's 100% true. Dude, it's 100% true. If I answer the phone and I answer Bobby McGee over my wife and she finds out about it, there's going to be a conversation. Like, but baby, I love you more. Then why did you answer the phone when Bobby called? But girl, baby, I love you. Then why did you answer the phone when Bobby McGee called? If you love me more, why didn't you answer when I called?
But if you knew that I was going to be calling you because of the problem, now would you answer first?
Baby girl, I can't talk long. Bobby McGee has a problem. Oh, that's fine. Okay, I understand. I understand. Yes, Porter. Porter, I love you, man. I love you. If I love God more, I choose Him. What the Ten Commandments are going to do to you and your faith, it's really going to confront you with what do you love. It's really going to confront your obedience. Because I can say something, and that's not necessarily what's manifested in my heart. Okay? How does obeying His will and instructions glorify Him? Let's move this into the world of family. Okay? So Jackson, my son, my youngest, he's my favorite youngest son. Of all my youngest sons, he's my favorite one. Okay. So he gets instruction from me as his father. Okay. Certain things. Do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay. Now, I told my favorite oldest son, Lucas, before they left church today, he says, hey, mom's going to be home in a couple hours. She's been away all weekend. It's just the house turned into a... It looked like a frat party exploded inside. Okay, it was boys' weekend. We had a brake job in the garage. We fried chicken wings. We watched Batman. It was all out guys' time. It was awesome. But mom's coming home. Okay. So what does that mean? You know it. You know why it was cleaning the house? I love my queen. And I love sleeping in my bed. And so I said to my favorite oldest son, Lucas, hey, mom's going to be home in a couple hours. You guys need to check boxes. You guys know what that means. When dad says check boxes, what does that mean? Means what? Go through the things that we know that we're supposed to do. Okay, by them doing that, does it not shine a light upon me as a father? Yes, it does. If they were to not do that, what would that say about me as a father? Yeah. Learning to obey and walk in obedience with His will, what He wants, and we know that what He wants is good, and His instructions, we will find shines a light upon Him, makes Him visible. So this is fifth commandment. Okay, you guys know what the fifth one is? Porter, what's the fifth commandment? Boom! Well done. Well done. He looked right at you, man. Dude, boy wants credit. Dude, boy, you get credit. You get credit. Well done. My mom always taught me the fifth one. You can remember the fifth one because it looks like a pregnant mom. So the five on the side still is a pregnant mom. That's the five. So that's, yeah. That commandment, is it given to kids or adults? Given to adults. Isn't it? The Ten Commandments are given to adults. It's for adults. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So learning to obey my mother and my father and the faith that I inherit from that legacy is how one of the ways that I glorify. Now we're going to learn, you know, what does that mean? What happens if I had a mom and a dad that weren't faithful, right? What if I come from a broken family? Thank you. Porter, I love you, man. Yeah, I love you, man. Okay? Well, what if I have come from a situation where Dad doesn't know Jesus. Mom doesn't know Jesus. What if I'm the first one in my family to know Jesus? How do I honor my father and my mother? How do I honor that legacy? Well, that's legitimate questions. Legitimate questions. But it's learning to key into today. God, what's your will for me? What's your will for me? How do I obey you? How do I obey your instructions? Knowing that when I don't, I'm not shining a light on you. A good image bearer points to the God he represents. Right? A good image bearer. Because how many of you can you remember back? What is that? What's the picture, the story? What's it mean to say that you're the image bearer? That phrase happens within a context of a story. The image bearer was what? In the temple. What was the image bearer? You constructed a temple to like Zeus or to Aphrodite, and you built the walls and you built the pillars, and the last thing to go in the temple was the image, right? And that image was what? Yeah, it was the image was the picture of Zeus. It was the picture of Aphrodite. And if you're reading Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, and God builds a temple for himself, and what's the last thing that God puts inside of the garden? The image. That means you are learning how to be good image bearers. And good image bearers reflect the God they represent. So I'm going to see it in how Aaron talks. I'm going to see it in how Maggie deals with disappointment. I'm going to see it with how Ryan reflects his heritage of faith. I'm going to see it in how Eric carries God's name. I'm going to see in what Reggie worships and doesn't worship. Because we reflect upon him. Who do you point others to? Do you? I believe that. I believe that. Who do you point others to? Philadelphia Eagles. You try. What God do you point people to? That's the question. Because a good image bearer knows and lives and loves and glorifies. From a memory perspective this week, that's your one question, that's your one answer, that's your one verse, okay? Okay? And this is the part where you say, thank you, Pastor Paul. Now, a bit of a warning to the OGs. Okay? Class two knows how to memorize stuff. Like, they knock it out of the park when they do their reviews. I'm just saying. Seniors, OGs, you got it. You better come next week, right? Because they're gonna throw down, all right? Because they know how to do their memory work. You got one question. You got one answer. You got one verse, okay? Next week, we're going to talk about the purpose of the law, okay? Talk about glory. We're going to talk about the purpose of the law, okay? And then after that, we're going to talk about story. If we're here to glorify God, then law is going to be really, really important. Why? Because I glorify Him by obeying His will and instructions, which means I need to know His will and His instructions. Okay? You should be in the process of, okay, hope projects. October, November, and December, you need to crank out a hope project. Mr. Adam, anything that you want to speak into, just along those lines, opportunities. Real quick, for those of you who don't remember, the most handsome of our elders, myself, is introducing you now to Adam. Nice and loud, buddy. Go for it. Doug is pretty cute, isn't he? In a little cute little elf way.
If you have lost your list of opportunities for service, I have one here. I can make some copies. Opportunities coming up right now. We got definitely Agape every Saturday morning available. Every Saturday morning, 9 a.m.
That means what? You go to the Agape Distribution Center Saturday morning, and you can do whatever they need you to do.
Generally, you'll be stocking things. Often, people that just show up that aren't regulars are placed bagging, which means bagging groceries and walking them to the car with the people that come in.
What is their address?